microphone on? Can you hear me at all? Okay, just want to make sure if you can hear me. They say it takes a little bit of crazy in every person who actually says yes to the Lord to go to mission field. So there's probably a little bit of crazy or maybe a little more. But my name is Beth Johnson. I'm a missionary to North Africa out of Lighthouse Baptist Church in Dawsonville, Georgia. Yeah, it's about 12 hours east of here. We're only known for a couple of things. One for the guys, one for the girls. Have you ever heard of Awesomeville from Dawsonville? He's a race car driver. I see some nods. And then the other thing we're known for is an outlet mall. So something for the guys, something for the girls. We got y'all covered. And we won't mention the Moonshine Festival. But I'm also with Macedonia Rural Baptist Missions. Whenever I get a chance to share about North Africa, of course, I like to start off with my salvation testimony. I was saved when I was just 5 years old. And I know a lot of people ask, you know, how can you know you were saved at such a young age? Well, I found a quote that says it better than I can. It says that the Bible is so simple that a five-year-old child can understand it. Yet great theologians can spend a lifetime of learning and never even scratch at its depth. So I'm thankful that as a child I was able to understand and put my faith and trust in Christ. And my mom, who is with me today, she is the one who led me to the Lord. And since she is traveling with me, she comes and on some of the longer trips, 8 hours, maybe 9 hours or more, and she helps drive so I can work. Since she is here, I'll mention what a wonderful Christian home I grew up in, that nobody could ask for a better home. Great mom, great dad. Encouraged us to do what the Lord would have us to do, that's for sure. But growing up in church, we were in a missions-minded church. We had missionaries in. We prayed for our missionaries. We even had some missionaries stay in our house. But, you know, growing up, I was fascinated by the missionaries and what I could learn. But I never really got missions. It was always up in my head. It never really sunk down to my heart. It wasn't until I got the opportunity to go to see it for myself that the Lord sunk those 18 inches. For me, it might be a little shorter. But, I got to go to Peru in South America right before I started Bible college. And I don't know about you, but when you say the words mission field, certain images go through your head. I don't know about you, but what I thought about was bush country with a grass hut and defending that grass hut from the zebras and the snakes and the lions and then having to go out to the river to wash your clothes. And this is what I pictured the mission field. I don't know about you, but that's what I pictured. So when we get off the plane in Peru into a city of 1.5 million people and we go eat pizza at Papa John's, it was not exactly what we expected. You know, for one time, you know, we go to their church service and they might have chairs instead of pews, but they sing hymns and they have preaching. And I got to play the flute there. And it was very similar to what we do here. And for the first time, the Lord kind of nudged me, saying, see, you might could do that. Well, I know we just met tonight, but I'm a very good Baptist, meaning I push that thought aside to pray about it later. You know, Lord, I can't think about that. So I finished up Bible college. I was able to teach fifth grade at our church's Christian Academy for 2 years. And everybody knows there are three perks to being a teacher. June, July, and August. Amen. And I didn't have any work lined up. So the Lord actually, through a roundabout way, got me to pray about another mission trip. Of course, good Baptist. At first I said, but Lord, I've already been. I should pray for somebody else to go. You know, being all noble. And the Lord just wouldn't let me get away from it. So I began to seriously pray about it. And I even started to ask a few people about some different options that I might have to go for more than just a week, to go for up to, you know, 2 to 2.5 months. Within 2 weeks of me starting to pray about it, a missionary to North Africa was at our church and told about a 6-week internship to Morocco. And the Lord gripped my heart and said, there you go. There's your answer. It's where I want you this summer. good Baptist, right? Because he said two different words there that I just don't know about. Now, the first word he said was Morocco. I know I'm from the South, and it gets hot where we are. But we have this marvelous technology that the Lord has blessed us with. And it is called air conditioning. And the only time that I'm without it is going from my church to my car. Or from the grocery store to my car. And it is full blast the whole way. I love it. Morocco, not so much. They have it in some places. Select places. I didn't know about that. And to be honest, I wasn't even sure if I'd have a hot shower. So my plan was to run around the building and get really hot and then go jump in the cold shower. But we had hot water, praise the Lord. But the second word that he used that I just, brings a cringe to your heart. He used the word Muslim. I don't know about you, but that makes me kind of cringe. Because to be honest, up until this point, I don't think I'd ever spoken to a Muslim person in my life. The only thing I knew about Muslim people were, let's face it, what do we all think about? Terrorists and enemies. And that's what I thought about. And what I pictured through my head was women all in black from head to toe, maybe showing their eyes. You've seen those pictures. Trailing 10 steps behind their husbands. I can just about see when the call to prayer happens, that traffic stops so that they can get out and roll up the prayer rugs and pray. That's what a Muslim's supposed to do, right? They're supposed to pray five times a day. This is what I'm picturing a Muslim country as being like. Well, Lord definitely worked in my heart because it is not me. It is all him, and he got me to go. He didn't change the fact that it's hot or the fact that it's a Muslim country, but I went. And I remember even being on the plane thinking, Lord, are you certain? He's like, a little too late. So when I got there, the Lord has already been dealing with my heart. And there's a song that I like to sing called He Gave Himself. And one line of that song says that, how I was his enemy before I got saved. And that thought just struck my heart of how do I view the Muslim people? To be honest, I view them as enemies. But, I was the Lord's enemy before I got saved. And the Lord was already working on my heart about that. And when we got there and we stepped off this plane, very similar to Peru, you get there and it's nothing like what you thought it was going to be. This picture of women all in black? Oh, no. Not at all. These ladies are not black kind of ladies. They dress in colorful dress, as colorful as they can get. And if they wear a head covering, they wear it from the top of their heads to the shoes on their feet. I have never seen a lady dress in more pink than I have in Morocco. From a head covering to a dress to the shoes, it was all pink. I wouldn't be surprised if she had a handbag that was pink too. Surprising. And they wore a lot of makeup so you could actually see their faces. And they have this decoration that's the henna on their hands. And we think it's because it's one of the only places that they actually show something, so they decorate it. And they wear lots of jewelry. I was just amazed. I didn't know the ladies were going to be so ladylike. Because, who doesn't like to go shoe shopping? I didn't imagine that. And when we got there, one of our first things that we did was to ride a bus for 6 to 8 hours through the city. And to be honest, I wasn't sure what to expect. I expected a little bit of hostility towards me because American, obviously white, not like them. How were they going to treat me, So we got on the bus and we finally would get, the whole bus would have to fill up besides one spot next to a crazy American on the bus for anybody to actually sit next to us. But once somebody did and we introduced ourselves, we knew about 5 words of Arabic, what else are we supposed to say? Hi, American. Hello. But they would actually spend their entire bus ride trying to talk to us. We would make great use of charades, and they would try to help us learn Arabic. They would introduce themselves, find out as much as we could, and by the end of our bus ride, we would have their name, their email address, their phone number, and of course, an invitation to their house for dinner. Now, how you went grocery shopping last week, met somebody new and invited them to your house for dinner? No? Why not? Over there, that's actually pretty standard. I was shocked. They were that friendly to me, a stranger in a foreign land, and yet they invited me to their house for dinner, and they really did mean it. It's not like a call me later. No, they really meant it. It kind of shocked me. I did not expect to be treated like that. And it's just that simple to make a friend there. You just sit down next to them, introduce yourself, and get invited to dinner. Pretty amazing. I did not expect them to be that friendly because, to be honest, what did I think of them? I thought they were his enemies. But then I sit down next to these ladies and get invited to dinner. It's kind of contradictory of what I thought. And why I tell you about this day is because this day is the first day that the Lord got me past seeing them as Muslims to seeing them as people. They're people just like you and I. Like I said with those shoes, ladies, they love shoes. They love jewelry. They're just like us. The difference is I've gotten to hear the gospel probably at least 3 times a week, every single week of my life. Whereas they, not so much. So throughout this trip, the Lord just broke my heart. And you're probably going to hear some things reiterated on this video, but they say repetition is the key to learning. So hopefully maybe you'll learn some things tonight about what I learned while I was there. But just walking down the street and knowing that 95 out of every 100 people I passed would most likely have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. That thought is staggering. And just to be honest, how do they not have the gospel? I mean, the Apostle Paul, he had what? His own 2 feet, donkeys, and ships. We have the internet. We have airplanes. We have automobiles. How is that possible? But it's true. I've been there. I've seen it. But another thing that I said while I was expecting in Morocco was the call to prayer, stopping traffic. Yeah, I was there for 6 weeks. You know how many times I saw somebody stop to pray in public? Once. And it was after dark, and he was in the corner while we were eating in a restaurant. Once in 6 weeks. And so that can kind of show you how they're not as fanatical as you might think. Most of the time, they're very nominal. How many know Christians who go to church twice a year? Easter, Christmas. Oh, wait, maybe 3 for Mother's Day. How many Christians do we know like that? A lot of the Muslims are very much like that. And they might not know exactly what they believe. They just believe it because their mom and dad believed it, because their grandparents believed it, and it's been passed down from generation to generation. It's not about what they believe, it's about what they do. And it's a completely different world. I do have a short video to show tonight. One thing about it is made up of a lot of the pictures that I took while I was there. And no longer is this so abstract anymore. There are real people who I've met. I got to talk to them. There's Miriam and Fatima and Jihan. And I know Jeremiah said, mine eye hath affected mine heart. So instead of you going to the mission field to let it affect your heart tonight, let it come to you and let your eye affect your heart as you watch this video.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.
Each morning, the first thing a Muslim hears in North Africa is this sound, the sound of the call to prayer, a solemn reminder that no matter what they do, how many times they pray, they can never have assurance of their eternal destiny. From the first words whispered into a newborn's ear, Muslims are indoctrinated against the Bible and Christianity. They need the truth. The Bible says that the truth will make them free. My name is Beth Johnson, and I'm a missionary to North Africa out of Lighthouse Baptist Church in Dawsonville, Georgia, and with Macedonia Rural Baptist Missions. I am thankful that I was saved at a young age. I grew up in a Christian home and graduated from Bible college. The summer of 2008, the Lord allowed me to spend 6 weeks in North Africa. While in Morocco, God broke my heart for the Muslim people as I watched person after person walk by. John 3:18 kept coming into my mind that they are condemned already who do not believe. Islam is a religion of darkness where people work very hard in hope of obtaining mercy. As much as I learned about North Africa and the religion of Islam, nothing prepared me for seeing it firsthand. It became personal. No longer were these faceless, nameless people in a faraway land. The Lord was getting me past seeing them as Muslims to seeing them as people. People just like you and me. People who the Lord loves. People for whom He died. Missions became very personal. I heard the call to prayer 5 times every day. I watched people pray in the streets because the mosque was full. I smelled the spices sold at the market. I felt the heat of the sidewalks coming up through my shoes. I tasted the famous tagine that they are known for. God was changing my heart to one for love for this exotic land and these people whom we usually fear. I began seriously praying about missions, even the prospect of going to North Africa. But what could I do? A single lady in a Muslim country don't usually go together. Then the Lord brought back to my mind what I did for 6 weeks in Morocco. While there, I was able to share the gospel with several ladies. In Muslim countries, men and women do not interact with one another the same way that they do in the States. They are much more conservative. A man speaking to a woman on the street for a length of time who is not his relative, it can be considered inappropriate. A shuma, they call it, a shame. The Lord put the thought on my heart. What if I had not been there? Would those ladies have been able to hear? Where a man cannot go up to these ladies and speak to them or witness to them, I can. By the end of the 6 weeks, missionaries Tyler and Gretchen Masters asked if I might be willing to go back to North Africa and work with them. After much prayer and seeking counsel, I knew this was the direction God had for my life. I will be working under church planting missionaries Tyler and Gretchen Masters. My main emphasis will be in a ladies' ministry. I will be working to witness, disciple, then train these ladies to do those exact same things. North Africa is comprised of 5 countries, stretching from the Atlantic Ocean, bordering the Mediterranean, and finally ending at the Red Sea. Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, Libya, and Egypt have approximately 168 million people, 97% of which are Muslim. Both the Masters family and I are a part of a team called Project North Africa. Right now, it is made up of 5 families and me. So far, 2 churches have been planted, 1 national trained and ordained to pastor one of the churches, and many saved. Having started in Morocco, it is our shared desire that eventually all of North Africa will be reached with the gospel. As you listen to these believers in North Africa sing, pray that the song of the rest of those in North Africa will change from one of empty hope to praising Christ.
Very needful. If you've ever heard the saying, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, what could happen in all of North Africa if these ladies were to get saved? Possibilities are endless. Right now, I'm at about 70% of my support, so I'm praying to leave by this summer and really excited about that. I'm going to be working, as I said, under church planting missionaries, Tyler and Gretchen Masters, but we'll be working in the city of Tunis in the country of Tunisia. We'll be taking a survey trip in January, and we'll be seeing it, getting prices and everything. So if you'd pray with me about that, it would be much appreciated. Hopefully going to leave maybe around May or June. The Masters are actually home on a short furlough. They just finished up language school, and so they'll be going back at the end of March. So maybe we can apartment hunt at the same time. Who knows? But one thing I get a chance to mention is about the church over there. when we mean plant a church, we're not going to have a church building with pews and a sign outside saying Longview Baptist Church, Tunisia location. It's not exactly that simple. For one, technically in most of the Northern African countries, it is illegal to convert anyone from Islam to any other religion. And you can't exactly go in as a missionary. We call it a creative access nation because you can get in. It just takes a little creative thinking. So as of right now, we're I know the Masters family and I were thinking about some different ways that we can get in. One, of course, is being a business owner. They've done this in Morocco with some Peruvians there, and they are language school operators. And what's the best textbook for teaching English or any other language? The Bible. So it's a great way to teach a language. And of course, we can always be tourists, but we'll have to leave the country once every 3 to 4 months. So those are a couple of different options we have. If you would really pray about some different options that we can seek out, especially on the survey trip, and pray about what to do, that would be much appreciated. So our churches are what you would call maybe house churches, home churches. The government does not know they're there. They're not registered. And so it's different. And I do have some pictures in the back on my table of the church that was in Morocco. It was basically just the office building where they had the language school. And so it was pretty neat to see. And one of the things that is going to happen if we do our job correctly is people are going to get saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I know depending on where you are and the level of hostility, I guess, because a lot of Northern Africa is a lot more liberal, I say that loosely, than you would think. It's not Saudi Arabia, but they're still very conservative. There's a very good chance that if a lady were to get saved, that yes, her family might cast her out. So what are we going to do? In the future, I don't know how long this might take, but I would love to see maybe some kind of ladies' home where they could have a place to stay. And depending on the family, the conservativeness of this family, who knows if she's even been taught skills of how to hold a job or something to do. Maybe we could teach that kind of thing there. I mean, that's just a possibility for the future. And like I said, I'll be working under the church planting missionaries there. And so our goal is to just plant churches. But my main area is kind of going to be more towards the ladies and, of course, anything else that they might need. And I do have plenty of time for questions. And I'll give you a hint. Ask about the food. Anybody? So if you have any questions maybe about what I've shown you or maybe what's happening right now, I'd be glad to answer it. If I don't know, I will let you know. So if anybody has any questions, feel free. Yes, ma'am.
That you go over there and you have ladies, choir ladies, and they get in a straight room. Do you think maybe you might go to a Bible school maybe where they can spread out, go out to?
That would be an ultimate goal, is to have some kind of Bible institute there that we could train them to go out into other areas. It is the philosophy of both the team and I that we should be training nationals to take over those churches and that we will not permanently be with any one church. With Muslim missions, though, it does take a little bit longer. They say on average, which is just an average, some are shorter, some are longer, that from the first time a Muslim person hears the gospel to when they get saved, it's 3 to 5 years sometimes. And sometimes it's as short as like a couple of weeks. So it just depends. So sometimes you may not see a whole lot of fruit to begin with, especially, but we don't know the fruit that's in the heart. We just sow the seed. The Lord gives the increase. And so while I was there, we got to witness to several different ladies. And for all we know, that could have been the first time they've ever met and talked to a Christian or even heard the gospel. So there's seeds planted there that maybe they have a little bit of doubt. And maybe our story is causing that seed to grow. And they do have internet access. That's how several people have contacted the team. I just have to give you a quick, this is great. One way that we get contacts throughout North Africa is we took out Facebook ads saying, if you want a Bible, click here. So what do? They click there to ask for a Bible. Some of them know they were just seeing if they could get it. But some of them are really legitimate. Some have been saved for a long time and have never met another Christian and never held a copy of the scriptures in their hands. It's a wide variety of those who ask. And so it's amazing the different contacts that we've gotten, and they've gotten it throughout North Africa. There's also a website that's Arabic Bible Ministry Outreach or some form of those letters. And so they can actually go to this website and ask for a Bible. So they've gotten contacts through there. There are so many contacts, and there's so many places that there needs to be a church and a Bible study or something. And so we're praying for more laborers to go and be willing to do that. So it's exciting times to see what's going on in North Africa. Okay, any more questions? Yes, sir. No, not in Morocco. I'm not sure about some of the other countries, but I know not Morocco. Right. And that's one thing, is I don't know that I could do what I'm going to be doing in either of those countries. So it's exciting that the Lord has put this team together. Yes, sir. So we're thankful for, like I said, these countries are a little bit more liberal, in that the women don't even have to wear a head covering. I know Morocco, you know, they do stay more covered. So they wear like 3/4 length to long sleeves. So if a lady wears short sleeves, it's considered immodest and a bad Muslim. So we will be wearing long sleeves. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's a great difference in every single Muslim country, and where we'll be is a little bit more liberal. Even though they're still conservative, it's still more liberal according to Muslim standards. Anybody going to ask about the food yet? Okay, yes, sir.
All right, how about the food?
The food is very good, actually. For what I can tell, they do not eat any kind of grubs or worms or anything like that. Praise the Lord. They have a famous food called tagine, and you can get it with lamb or chicken, beef, fish, just no pork. Pork is unclean. So they cook it for a long time with either like carrots, vegetables, onions, things, and they serve it over couscous or fries. But the best part about it is there are very little dishes to wash. Amen. Because everybody eats off of one plate in the middle of the table with their hands. But they use bread and they scoop it out and stick to your own section. So it's really not as bad as what you're thinking. Yes, sir. Okay. That's a very good question. A lot of people think that when I go overseas, I'm going to be working with kids. I would love to be able to work with the kids, but with the Muslim culture, they really, really guard their children from anything. And let's face it, they're not going to send them to vacation Bible school. Not so much. So as we see, hopefully families get saved, hopefully there will be a ministry for the kids that I could work with. Like I said, I did teach fifth grade for a couple years. I worked with children's church in my home church. So there's always that possibility. They are trying to work on some ways they might could do some outreach, like either through story times or different things. But we have to be very careful. The one time that my teammates got in more trouble, I guess one of the main things they did, was one of the interns on the same trip I went gave an 11-year-old a Bible that caused them a lot of ruckus. So we have to be very careful with the kids. So our main emphasis is reaching the teenagers to adults. And hopefully through them, more kids can get saved. So if that answers your question. They do. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yes, ma'am. Sometimes we were able to, sometimes we're not able to. But there was one girl in particular that some friends met. They went and visited her and, like, her family, and they really got to know her. And by the end, she had asked for a Bible in English. So it's really exciting. And, in fact, the year before I went, there was a couple of girls who they invited them to actually spend the night at their house. And when they went and spent the night with them, they asked them about how Christians pray. Because the Muslims' prayer, it's very ritualistic. They do it five, they're supposed to do it 5 times every day. And it's not just the words they say, it's movements with it, because they stand up, they lean forward, they stand up, they lean forward, they kneel down, they put their head on the ground. And in fact, some pious Muslims will put either dirt or makeup on their forehead to make it look like they pray so much their forehead is bruised and dirty. But it's a ritual to them, and they say the same thing every time. And so the girls, the American girls, asked them, okay, well, how do you pray and how do you go about it? And they showed them. Well, then the Muslim girls asked the Christian girls, you know, how do you pray? And they said, well, we just talk to the Lord. And we give him our petitions, you know, and they kind of went through it. And they prayed for them and just to show them. And those girls were moved to tears because they thought that is so beautiful. They don't understand that God wants a relationship with us. Because to them, he is a being in the sky who hopefully will have mercy one day. They don't have assurance of their salvation in Islam. They just hope to get to go to heaven because the Prophet Muhammad did not even have assurance of his salvation. Why would we? So there's vast differences between the Muslim faith and the Christian faith. And once they see that, it's amazing. Any more questions? Yes, sir. We do have a Bible in Arabic. Technically in Morocco, I know it's illegal. I don't know about the other countries. So when we bring them in, technically it is illegal, but we give them out anyway. So I don't know. I know we brought some in from a Spanish city with us. I'm not sure how we'll get them in Tunisia. That's one of the questions we have to get answered. And Brother Tyler might already know all that, and I just don't because they've been overseas. And I haven't for the past, you know, 2 years. So that could be a thing. They have been there for a little over 2 years. And they just finished language school. And they were praying about where to start the first church. And that's where the Lord directed them to Tunis. Did they not get involved in all that? No, they were in Morocco for language school. And they just finished that up. So they have not. And this is quite interesting. There's only one other missionary family that we know of in Tunisia right now. And they got there last November. Can you imagine going to a country where the first missionaries got there last November? City of 2.5 million people in the metropolis. Country of 10 million people. So it's very needy. But praise the Lord, I've read something, which, you know, everything on the internet must be true. But supposedly Tunisia is actually moving a little bit more towards, like I said, I don't know this for sure, towards some women's rights things where I think like 24% of their either justices or part of the government needs to be women. So it might be a great time for me to be there and be able to talk to some of these ladies. So hopefully it'll be a prosperous time and for them to hear the gospel. All right. Anything else? I've even been asked about pets before, so anything really goes. And just if you're wondering, in the Islamic religion, which some adults don't know this, I teach this to the kids, the religion is called Islam, but the people who follow that religion are called Muslims. So if that helps differentiate the two words there. But apparently, the Prophet Muhammad did not like dogs. He said that if you touch a dog, you must wash your hands 7 times. So most Muslims don't have dogs, but some still do. Well, and they consider washing 1, 2, 3. So it's a little different than what our standards of washing are. Anything else? Yes, ma'am. What was in the cup? Oh, in the cup, that's a mint tea. That's what Morocco is famous for. It's basically double mint gum boiled in a tea. It is super duper hot, super duper sweet, and super duper minty. So it's a little taken aback, and they're like, drink and drink, and you're like, it's burning my mouth. So, and I don't really drink a lot of hot drinks, so I'm going to have to get used to that. It's very good. It is very good.
Mm-hmm. Is it just kind of curious about the Christian
To begin with, that pretty much is. They're just curious because you're an American, and they equate anything American to being Christian. So anything they see on TV is Christian. Mm-hmm. It's that bad. Because in Islam, it invades every part of their life. So anything about their life coincides with Islam. So they just expect the same thing with Americans being Christian. So for us to show them true Christianity, totally different than what they encounter. So a lot of it to begin with is just curiosity. There's rumors, I don't know where they came from, that we are being paid to tell them this, which kind of in an essence we are. But one lady was an English teacher, and we talked to her, and she's like, are you being paid like to tell me this? And we're like, do you realize how much money I had to pay to be here? So, because that was for our internship that we had to raise the money for. So it was quite interesting. Well, it depends on the level of the person we were speaking to. Some people, they spoke English. Like, hi, how are you doing? I am Moroccan. That's about all they knew. So we would try to do our best. But there we met an English teacher, so she was fluent. And we met another two or three different ladies who spoke fluent English. One lady we actually met was just vacationing in Morocco for 6 weeks because she lives in London. So there's a wide variety of people who speak English, but I will be learning Arabic when I get there. So please pray for me. I get to learn how to read chicken scratch. If you've ever seen Arabic written out, I have some books out there, and it almost looks like that. So, anything else? All right, thank you, Pastor. Appreciate it.
All right, I'll tell you, let's stand together for just a moment.